rest on thee always, living in thee.
The name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Happy Homecoming Sunday, everybody. It's great to start this new program year off with car washes, with choir, with a welcome breakfast, with children and family and teachers. It's a wonderful sign of the faith and hope and commitment that dwells in this place as we seek to faithfully follow Jesus. And coupled with this beautiful and wonderful beginning of the new program year, we have one of Jesus' best loved sayings from the gospel. Unless you hate your family and give up everything, you can't be my disciple. I mean, it's right up there with let the little children come unto me. No, it's not, is it? It's hard. These are hard words that we hear from Jesus today. Hard and challenging. Hate your family. Reject life itself. None of you can be my disciple if you don't give up all your possessions. This is not simple stuff. And it hasn't been simple since the moment that Jesus uttered these words. If we go to the Gospel of Matthew, right after Jesus says this, most of his disciples turn around and stop following him. They are so discouraged and confused. We've struggled with this for years. Some people have taken it very literally and very seriously and faithfully and lovingly. They have chosen to serve God by giving up all they have, right? Monks, nuns, hermits who truly renounced everything out of their love and their commitment to following Jesus, to being a disciple. And I think we can all say, God bless them. But most of us in this room have not chosen that path. Now, there's another option beside this one option that we see of monks and nuns and hermits. The other option is to do what I think a lot of Christians have done, which is just turn the other way and pretend Jesus didn't say this at all. We do that. Let's be honest. I don't care what church you go to. People cherry pick what they listen to sometimes. And that's what a lot of us might well do with this. But I think there might be another answer for us today. Another answer of taking this truly seriously, but potentially not being literal as we listen to Jesus' words. We do that at other times with Jesus, don't we? If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Thankfully, most Christians do not take that literally, do they? We understand that Jesus is making a deeper point. He's trying to say, in that case, sin serious, look out. And in this case, Jesus is saying, following me means that you need to examine your life and what you value, and you need to get your values in order. Jesus is calling us to take this whole faith thing really, really seriously. And I think we need to struggle with these words today. We need to pay attention to these words today. And we may well ask, how are we going to do that? And I will answer quite quickly. We do that by listening to the big picture of how Jesus talks. And we do that by listening to the whole of the Bible, to other pieces of the Bible that help inform us of what Jesus might be saying. And today, our lectionary, the ordered set of readings that we do every single day in the Episcopal Church, gives us a gift. First off, it gives us a gift because you can now say you have listened to all but four verses of an entire book of the Bible, the book of Philemon today. You heard verses 1 through 21, and it only goes through verse 25, so you're nearly there. That's pretty cool. Finish it off today after church. But in that reading of Paul talking to this guy named Philemon, and talking about a man named Onesimus, we start to get a glimpse, I believe, of what Jesus is driving at when he talks about hating our family and about giving up everything we have to follow him. In this short letter, Paul is talking to somebody who clearly has some cash. Now, how do I know that Philemon had money? I don't have access to Roman IRS records, unfortunately, so that's not how I know. But I know this because what does Philemon have? A slave. He owns a slave. He owns another human being, right? And it's his property. And we know, according to this letter, that Philemon has lost his slave. Onesimus has run, looking for liberty, like all human beings. He is looking for liberty, and he ran from that master, and he found himself in relationship with Paul, right? And he spent time with Paul now, learning from him and building relationships with him. And Paul is writing to Philemon today, appealing for Philemon to renounce his ownership and give up ownership of Onesimus. Now, this is kind of shocking if you really stop and think about what is going on. First off, it's hard for us to recognize how prevalent slavery was in the Roman world. It's disturbing. And on the one hand, I think most of us want Paul to just stand up and say, slavery is bad, Christians, don't do this. But you know what? Paul lives in the midst of his culture. And so he doesn't do that. But he does challenge what's going on in this situation, right? Paul asks Philemon to look at this man who he has viewed as property for his whole life, suddenly as something far more than that, as a fellow brother in Christ. And Paul asks him to voluntarily, because of his faith, because of his experience of God, to let go of that property with nothing, absolutely nothing in return. That's not a small ask. I mean, today the kids are asking to wash your car. We could turn that around. They could ask for your car, right? Nothing in return. Just give the car. We'll use it for God. This is not a small ask that is being made. That's kind of shocking. Secondly, it's pretty shocking that Onesimus, the slave who has run to freedom and has found new life, is now returning voluntarily to his old master. He's carrying this letter from the Apostle Paul after he has escaped and found freedom, and he is walking back into the lion's den, in a sense, right? Simply hoping and believing that there's something about this Jesus, something about this experience of God that is going to change Philemon and make him act in a different way than everybody else in society. It's not a fugitive slave law that's making this guy go home. It's faith. That's pretty shocking if you think about it. Finally, it's pretty incredible that this whole interchange between these individuals, none of this is being done based on legal command or court order, or for that matter, even threats of hellfire, right? No. It's being done based on a relationship. A relationship that's founded in an experience of God. All of this comes from taking Jesus' words today very, very seriously. Unless you consider your connection to the things you own, to the people in your life, to your time, in light of God, we aren't truly paying attention to who God is. And that's what we see Onesimus and Philemon doing. It's incredible. It's real life. Listening to and following the moving of God and of the Spirit. It's people believing that it's not wealth or family or status that defines us, but it is God and God's love and God's grace that defines us. Without that trust, we wouldn't have this letter today. Think about it. Philemon gets a letter, it says, make this man free. What could he do to the letter? Burn it up. Throw it out. But clearly he didn't, because we're reading it today. Similarly, we know Onesimus acted on this, right? He's the guy carrying the letter. We're reading it. He didn't throw it out and skip town to go to Crete. these people lived their faith, this brave, faithful faith. That's the kind of love, the kind of power that God aims to have in you, in me, in this world. When you get down to it, that is why church school and youth programs are offered here. Because we want for all of us to be able to know the love and goodness of God. That's why a bunch of foolish adults and a bunch of teenagers slept on floors last night. Because we want them to experience the love and grace of God. That's why Bible study and worship and choir and prayer and all the ministries that exist here exist. Because we want people to be able to experience the kind of love and grace of God that changes them and changes their life. That is why we say week after week, Christ welcome all, we welcome you, because we want all people to get a glimpse, a taste of that life-changing love of God. So that, I believe, is what Jesus is telling us today. That's what Jesus is saying to me and to you. That's what Paul is teaching Onesimus and Philemon and the people of St. Mark's. So the question stands before us today, before all of us. How will you, how will I faithfully begin to respond more fully to Jesus' invitation to follow, to be changed, to love God with more of our heart and more of our mind and more of our strength? Obviously, our answer is going to be different depending on who we are. For some, it means that they're going to chaperone lock-ins and sleep on the floor. For others, it means we're going to teach church school. For others, it means we're going to sing in the choir. For others, it means we'll make sure there's coffee and refreshments after church. For others, it's going to involve going to food pantries. For others, it's going to involve Bible studies. There's so many ways that God invites us to live in this life. But here's the thing. The invitation, the call is for all of us. Each and every one. Through our time, our relationships, our wealth, our prayer, our study, our service, we are called to be changed, to grow. So truly I tell you, unless you give up all you have, you cannot be my disciple. Amen.